Hey there, welcome back. I'm still Christopher Harrison, that's still John Galloway, yep. And we're still talking
MEC4. I'm immutable, so I try and always stay John Galloway, thank
yes.
you.
Yes, yep. Yeah,
I'll be
yep.
here all week.
Try the veal.
So we just talked about JavaScript and
yep.
Ajax,
yep.
And already during that session, we got a lot of questions about JSON data and how can I deal with, and so that's a great segue. This session, we're going to be talking about web APIs.
Yep.
So web APIs, the way I like to think about it is, you know, you've got MVC is mostly built around returning HTML.
Yes.
And working with forms and browsers.
Yep.
And then we saw that people like that. So people over the years had been using web forms and then writing services to do JavaScript, things like that. And then mm-hmm. we came out with MVC and people said, this is great. I have total control of my markup, so I'm going to return some JavaScript. I'm going to return some JSON data. I'm going to return XML. This is a great service backend for me,
yep.
right? And so that works. You can do that. You can use an action result. You can use a JSON result. You can return XML. You can do that. But it's always a bit of a weird fit because MVC is really built to work with browsers with HTML. So things mm-hmm. like when you post something back to a controller action that expects a post, the anti-forgery token works with HTML posted form data. It does not work with JSON data. So there's all these kind of little things there where it's not optimized. So you can make just about anything work. You could use a console app to return JSON data too. But you know, we saw that people really wanted a solution for web APIs. So the idea is ASP.NET web APIs make it easy to write HTTP services, follow a lot of the same patterns as ASP.NET MVC.
Yep.
But it's optimized for doing the right thing with HTTP services.
Yep. And by the way, if you had 211 in the pool as to when we would first mention console apps, please come forward and collect your prize.
All right. So we have a very long, detailed list of things we're going to be doing in this module.
Yep.
So then we'll be talking kind of in general. This is mostly going to be John plays with web API and you learn what you can along the way. But yep. we'll talk about, you know, first of all, what is a web API? So as I said, the focus is around HTTP services. So mm-hmm. you'll hear earlier on, you heard a lot more talk about REST, and it's true that it's easier to do RESTful things to follow a RESTful development style.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that on one of the next slides. But really, just think about web APIs as great for building HTTP services. So if you want to return some JSON data, some XML, and you don't even have to return it. We had some great questions. Could I use MVC as a backend for my phone application, for my desktop application, for talking to another server? You can, but it's sure. going to be a lot easier if you use web API because those HTTP services. So your phone application can make an HTTP call mm-hmm. to a web API that's going to return just lightweight JSON or XML data or other formats you want. And it's just talking HTTP, so you don't have to worry about any kind of browser stuff in the middle.
Yep.
Great. So web API, it still does uses URLs and requests and very similar to the same kind of URLs and routing that you would get with MVC. And so as an example here, you know, very similar, there are some defaults that it follows that are more optimized towards HTTP services. So things like get, put, post, delete, those are things that, you know, it kind of, it's, we'll see your controller actions use names like get, put, post, delete.
Yep.
Because it's very specifically built for HTTP services. One neat thing is in the next version of Web API, API version 2, coming out, I think in October, was recently announced, and that's going to include attribute routing. So that's something hopefully I think we'll see in MVC as well very soon. And attribute routing is kind of like routing on steroids. So you can use routing. You can, in your controller actions, you can put an attribute above an action and define your route right there. So really pretty slick. Okay, so the simple steps with web API. First of all, it's important to know that web API is built to work well with MVC. Mm-hmm. But it's separate. You can put a web API in, you know, a web forms application. You can put a web API even in a console app. It can self-host, so it doesn't need to be run inside of ASP.NET. But web API, it's simplest in an MVC application to use the web API template. So we'll see that in a second.
Yep. Yeah, and that is one of the really nice parts, so that if you've invested a lot of time already in building everything up, you've set up your repository, and it's already being hosted out, hey, now we want to be able to add on these services, you can take the existing project that you have and add on the functionality. So you can absolutely use the built-in template, or you can just graft that on to what you already have.
So meaning that in Christopher's earlier solution, his conference solution, he could right-click on controllers and say, add a web API controller, and it would just work. It was already built in. Okay. A word about rest. It's afternoon here. It's time for a little afternoon nap. The rest joke has to be made. Just get it out of the way.
All right. So, by the way, I'm still disappointed. Again, we've made it to after 2 o'clock, and we've still yet to display Hello World. We really have done all of our viewers a disservice today.
It's true. We apologize jointly. So REST stands for Representational State Transfer.
Yep.
And the idea here is that when you're writing a service, you want to create there's kind of the way that things fit together. You want to build an application that uses metadata. It's hypermedia is the word I'm looking for. So hypermedia applications, which means that a request for one resource includes links to another resource and all these kinds of things. Also, you'll see generally that URLs and RESTful services follow patterns that indicate how things fit together. So people wanted to build RESTful services in MVC, and they've wanted to build them in all kinds of different things Microsoft's built along the years, and it's been varying degrees of pain to do that. It got a lot easier with MVC, but we saw that as Web API was being built, Glenn Block was talking with a lot of people in the community, and they said, this is what we need to build RESTful services. So initially, you'll hear, people talked about Web API as it enables REST. And it does. But they're two kind of separate things. So the thing I want you to take away from this is Web API is for HTTP services. A lot of people like to build HTTP services using REST, and we make that easy to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's waffly enough. I hedged all my bets there.
Way to just walk right down the middle.
Right. Say nothing. Okay, so data return formats. So I've mentioned JSON and XML quite a bit. And so there are built-in formatters for them. What's cool is that there is also content negotiation. So that means in a request, the browser or any HTTP request can send up an accept header. And the accept header can say things like, I really prefer JSON data. I can handle XML data. And please don't send me binary data or whatever, right?
Right.
So then... Web API will look at that and it'll say, okay, these are your weightings, this is your preferred thing, I support JSON or I support XML, and it will negotiate that and figure it out. Mm-hmm. So this is a great way that's a standard way that they can negotiate the content format. And so Web API includes JSON and XML formatters. You can build your own formatters, which is great. So you can say, I would like to return, if somebody requests a JPEG and they request a user, they request a speaker and they say accept content type JPEG, we can return the speaker's picture,
right.
Things like that. So that's the idea with media formatters. Again, it's simple defaults. You don't have to worry about the content type, but if you want to get in there and get involved and change them around, you can. This is one of the areas, again, where it starts to shine, because you can, if you did this with MVC, you would say, well, does the user want XML? You might create, for instance, an action that says get speaker XML, or have a parameter, get speaker and pass in a format type or whatever. You have to build all that yourself. What's nice with Web API is you just say your client can call in, be it JavaScript or a web or whatever, a phone or a desktop app, whatever. It calls in and it says, get me a speaker. And the client negotiates with the server, with Web API, and they work it out. And they say, I'll return you JSON. Sounds good. And it returns JSON, and neither the client nor the server need to care. So this already simplifies things. If you do that with MVC, you've got to handle, with MVC controllers, you've got to handle that on your own.
One of the questions that actually just came in that I thought was kind of interesting and I think fits perfectly here as you step towards a demo, mm-hmm. is the question about using WCF versus using Web API. When should we be using Web API? When should we go off and build our own services?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I normally have a slide set for this, but that's a great question. It comes in a lot. The idea is, what I recommend to people is, if you're building HTTP services and you can get away with just, if you only need what Web API provides, I would recommend using Web API. It's a lot simpler, and it's very streamlined and focused, and it uses conventions that are going to make things easier for you. If you need something WCF requires, then you step up to that. So for instance, if you're going to do things like binary serialization, if you need to do SOAP, if you need to do some kind of, you know, if you're moving outside of the lines of simple HTTP services and moving to something where, you know, it's more, I don't know, WCF kind of strong points,
right?
Then that's where you make that jump.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, if you needed the ability to switch to binary serialization for calls that are being made internally, that's something you'd be looking at WCF for, things like that.
And again, you can do binary serialization using a web API, but I would just say if you need WCF, use it. Otherwise, stick to web API.
Okay.
That's kind of what I... So let's go back to the slides here. So we have routes and controllers. I think these are easier to see if I just do a demo.
Yep.
So what I'm going to be doing with the demo is I'm going to be starting up a new MVC application, and we're going to build... we're going to use the Web API template. And so let me do that here. Okay, so a new MVC4 application. I'm going to use the Web API template. Again, that's not required. I'll point out a few nice features that this includes. If you want to do Web APIs, if you've got an application that's mostly going to be working with Web APIs, this is a nice place to start. But you can, in any MVC application, you can right-click, add Web API controller, add API controller. So I was going to fill in some time while it was spinning up, but there we go.
Don't you hate it when your computer's too fast?
First world problems, right? Okay, so here we go. This is an API controller. So let's point out what's different, or what's similar and different. So instead of building off a controller-based class, this builds off an API controller-based class.
Yep.
And then this is a values controller. So we'll see that in the routing, that's going to follow that same kind of routing. And then here, this is one of the places where we start seeing a real difference. Instead of an index or a details or create or all those sort of things, instead we're going to follow those HTTP verbs. So that means when you make an HTTP GET request to /API/values, the routing's going to point it at this, this controller action, right?
So really a lot like the same routing that we have in MVC.
It's very similar. However, we don't need to specify the action because the action is an HTTP verb.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so that simplifies those things. If we want a bunch of things, we could just call get and it'll return a bunch of things, right? If we make a get request and we pass in an ID, then it'll point at one. Okay. And of course, you can write your own. You can use different ones if you want. But these are kind of the standard ones, and they make a lot of sense.
So sort of going back to the original Pixar animation slide that we have, that once again, in here, it's just like creating our normal actions. So it's do stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you need to go get things from a database, if you needed to do a lookup based on an ID, you can do that through here. So whatever it is that needs to be done to return back the appropriate data, you can do that inside of here, just like you could do that with a normal action.
Yeah. And the one difference really that I point out here is, you've got your controller is very similar. Your model is pretty similar usually. You may, in this case, this is a very simple one. It's just returning strings, but that's your model type, right?
Yep.
So if we get time, I'll scaffold out one using a different model type. But views don't exist here, and the reason is views are the serialization format. Views are how you say you want something rendered, but there are already defined formats. If I say I want to return an array of strings. And the accept header that came in says, I want JSON, and we support JSON, we're going to serialize this as JSON as return, and there's no reason to write a view. So that really kind of simplifies that out. So we really just have model controller.
Right.
Okay. So at that point, I can just run this. And I'm using the, we've had a few questions during the chats. This is using the Visual Studio 2012 Update 3. And so that includes some things that came along with Update 2. And one of those is some nicer nicer display around web APIs. So here I've got this API help page. So when I click on API, this is going through and it's generating on the fly some help for my controller here. Mm-hmm. So just to drive that home a bit, I'm going to create a new model. So I'm going to add a class, and this is going to be a person. And my person is going to have just they'll have an ID. So ID, and they'll have a name, right? And so now I will add a web API controller. So again, the same scaffolding experience, right click, add controller. And here I want to add an API controller just with empty read-write actions, okay? No, that's not what I wanted. I want one using Entity Framework. And I want that using my person, and I'll create a new controller. Or context. Okay. So what I want to point out with this is these controller actions here, you know, this is same kind of get, put, post, delete, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And this should look very similar to the MVC controller.
Yep.
And now, because of that web API help page is generated on the fly, yep. it's actually inspecting my controllers, and it's going to show me, if I did this right, that I have a values controller, and I have this, well, I called it a default controller, which was maybe a bad idea.
That's all right.
So this is my default API,
one.
Right?
Default one, yep.
My application one. Okay, so then this actually goes in and it documents out. So if I click on this get, if I'm getting a specific person, then it's going to show this is what it's going to look like. This is what the answer will look like in JSON, mm-hmm. and this is what it'll look like in XML. So really pretty handy to be able to do this on the fly, and it builds that out.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I want to show two things. One, if we go back to this API controller, and I want to show, let me see, if I do get values, then this shows, remember that it was just returning some strings. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to show the very simple way of debugging this is just in your browser. So you can bring up your browser tools. Any modern browser, if you hit...
F12, by the way, is the shortcut on that. Sometimes just simply called the F12 tools.
Yep. And F12 works in any modern browser.
Yep.
So I hit start capturing. And then this is telling me that this is for... actually, if you forget, you can go in here, and this is saying the values controller was API values, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to copy that. I'm going to make a GET request, which is what happens in browser land. So I hit that. And now I'm just going to say open and cancel. So I say open and click away. And now let's look at this, and we can inspect. So my request that came in said I want the API values. And you'll see that it has the, let me see. I forgot to get that help from
zoom in. Go ahead, zoom in again.
Yes.
Click with your mouse first.
Ah-ha-ha.
That will get it to freeze.
Okay.
There we go.
So here's my response body. This is what I want to show. The response body is that JSON data. So that's it.
Yep.
So I made my request. It automatically serialized it, returned it, and everything. And it does that. It negotiates out which content type. So if you look here, this is saying I accept... You know, I accept all these things.
I want you to zoom in on that.
Yep. And so between the client and server, they negotiate out which one they're going to return, right?
Yep. So basically what you've done here is you've shown that just by putting together the URL that you could get back whichever data it is that you want and then use the F12 tools to show behind the scenes the fact that it's returning JSON.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
And so now, and that'll change too, by the way. It's interesting, if you do the same example in Chrome, Chrome will return XML. And that's because it's the default accept, it prefers XML. Those accept headers, by the way, are funky. The syntax is funky. When I first started playing with this, it's It doesn't exactly, like when you skim it, it doesn't return what you think always. So, okay, so now you're laughing over there. Is there something funny on the
chat? No, I was just liking, you know, funky. It's a technical term.
Yes,
it's a technical
highly
term.
Highly technical term. So,
oh, by the way, apparently it's Shift F2 in Mozilla.
Ah, okay.
There you go.
I bet you in Mozilla that F12 works. Because in Chrome, it used to be something else, and they added in F12. I think everyone, maybe someone on chat can verify, but I think that that's working on Mozilla.
Okay. Yeah, that's the couple of things that I've seen in the chat. I'll admit I'm not a Firefox user.
Okay. I will skip over. So I want to show a couple of cool things just for going further. We talked, you know, at a high level. We've shown controllers. I scaffolded out a controller, and that already would work. Like, mm-hmm. I could go and post things into it, and I could create people in my default one controller, which I'm so ashamed of. But so if you want to learn more about Web API, I want to show you a few resources. So if you go onto the ASP.NET site, you click on Learn, and you click on Web APIs. So then this, I think I've got it zoomed to Gigantor level. But so this, first of all, it's going to tell you to install Visual Studio if you don't have it. I recommend it. And then here are a lot of things. You've got some top-level recommendations on where to get things, and a lot of stuff about how you can extend and do more with Web API. So for instance, you can get way under the hood, and you can say, when I ask for this, I really want that, or mm-hmm. here's how I want to change the media type and all that. So the documentation on this Web API stuff, I think, is really pretty good. One other thing that's very useful in debugging and testing, of course, there's Fiddler for HTTP debugging.
Yep.
If you go into, one thing that I recommend is, if you bingle for Web API Test Client, you're going to get a post by Yao, who is on the ASP.NET team. And I'm going to just walk through what he showed, because this is great. There is a NuGet package. So you search for Web API Test Client. So we'll do that as step one. So I right-click, Manage NuGet Packages. And I'm going to say I want online, and I want Web API. So what this does is it extends out further. Instead of just showing that documentation, it actually gives me a kind of an interactive console in my browser where I can go in and post and get and interact with my API. So I've
while that's loading, the chat window is now just exploding with what F12 does in like each browser.
How'd I do?
Well, as it turns out, F12 will open Firebug if you've got it. Otherwise, it's still Shift F2. In Chrome, it's F12, and in Internet Explorer, it's F12. Oddly enough, nobody said anything about Opera.
Poor Opera. All right. okay, so what this is doing, this is going to give me this cool interactive thing. There's one little twiddly bit where I've got to go in afterwards and I've got to wire this up. So I go into my API view. So this the stuff that I showed you before with the Web API help stuff,
yep.
That's actually implemented using an MVC area, and these are standard views, and you can go in and change them, and you can override how different things are displayed.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go in, I believe there's something in here that says, or I forget which one it is, I need to go help page views help. Help page views help, and I edit api.cshtml, and there's two things I need to add. One needs to go right after the div, so I'll throw that in here. Without the bullet. And then
I love when it does that.
Yeah, and it's going to do it here too, even though it's going to pretend like it won't. This goes after that link. So I'll throw this here. And I just really want to show this as, if you're doing interactive debugging, this is a really kind of slick, easy way to do that. So now I'm going to bring this up again. I'm going to run the application. By the way, one cool thing they added recently in Visual Studio, I'm not sure where it snuck in, but it used to be when you hit F5 and you were on a view,
mm-hmm.
it would just try and display the view. It would try and browse the view, and then it'd give you trouble. Now they finally got rid of that, so that's very nice. So now when I click on API, and I believe if I click on this, there it is. So now I get this test API thing down in the bottom. So now I can go onto here, and I can say, I would like to call into, say, default one, and I can see what I'm going to get back. So if I say get, and I believe that there's no people there, so it's going to be kind of boring. So there I got an empty list of people.
Yep.
And I could actually go in and I could do a post and you know, I could build up a, I could build something up.
Right.
So I'm not going to go into that in detail now.
Right,
but I could go in and create a person. I guess I could use that seed method. Should I do that? I don't know if there's much value to that. Basically, I could go in and splunk through that, and I could do gets and posts,
mm-hmm.
And I can see, you know, what exactly is in this web API.
Right.
The big thing I want to point out, kind of, I guess, I think the slides were about done for this.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is all.
The big thing I want to wrap up with is that the big takeaway is that web APIs are for HTTP services. This is a web API working inside of an MVC application.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that MVC application that was actually showing the help page. And then a web API can live side by side or separately, and
yep.
it can serve just simple JSON or XML or things like that.
Yep.
So one place you'll see that more is in some of the new templates. So if you have the new, let me see actually if this works. If we can shift back to code, and I'll try and create a solution, because I have not had enough demo fails yet, and I think this is my lucky shot here. So if I create a new project, and I think I have, yes. So if I create a single page application, so this is one of the new templates that was installed if you have Visual Studio 2012 Update 2 or later.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're missing out. You really should install these updates. They're free updates for Visual Studio. They pop up in the bottom corner of your screen, or you can go to Tools and update them from there. And they add cool features, like they've added Page Inspector. They've added all kinds of great stuff into Visual Studio new templates. So what this one does is, this is a single page. Now, we've had several people ask about, you know, we were talking about JavaScript, and they said, tell me more about Knockout. So that's way out of scope for it. We don't have time to dig into that. But I can show you that this actually is an example where it uses Knockout. So this is using, we have some Knockout observables, we have a model, we have a view model, data context, and this, you know, gets some post stuff. The reason I'm showing this is because this uses web API in an MVC application to do, so we have an API controller, and this is doing this Ajax style update. So we have, I'll run this application. So we're going to have an MVC app that just loads up an empty page.
It's okay.
Really, the page doesn't do much of anything. So I will create a new user whose name is Fred, and his password is ASDF. Will that work? Please let it work. I know how to trick you. ASDF, ASDF. Okay, so I just...
Well done.
Thank you. I have many skills. So this is a to-do list. And when I clicked on my to-do, on add to-do list, I can say, you know, get a new password, or passwords. And then item one on the list is get a new one, right? And so then I can go in and I can update and check things off. Now you'll notice as I'm going through and working with this, this is live in the page.
Don't put your password up there on the screen for everybody to see.
That. Excuse me, I need to stop the session and go change all my passwords.
Can we delete that part of the recording?
Exactly.
We'll cover it with spaghetti.
It's the answer to everything. So the idea here is it's an MVC application. This could have all kinds of other, like for instance, that login and create user, that was just mm-hmm. standard MVC. For this section, where it's doing a really, more than just like the partials that you were showing earlier with
right.
the comments, this is, you know, really using a lot of JavaScript, very JavaScript heavy. So for this one, the pattern is, that those to-do items are served up using a web API controller. And so you've got your pages that are posting back to these controllers. So it's out of, you know, we only have less, you know, we don't have a lot of time to cover web APIs mm-hmm. in this session. We don't have time at all to cover Knockout. The reason I wanted to mention these is to, you know, point you at this. You can, if you have a new update or one of the newer updates for Visual Studio 2012 installed, create a new single page application and just look at it. And mm-hmm. you can see Knockout in action. There's other templates available for things like Angular and Backbone and Ember. So those are all, you know, some other front end frameworks. And all of them can call into web APIs because they're just vanilla HTTP services. A nice thing with HTTP services, you can call into it from anything. You can call to it from, you know, of course, any Microsoft technology. You can call it to it for a, from Android or iOS or whatever you'd like. So it's just kind of a very standard way of building out backend services.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm going to make you into my code monkey for 2 seconds here.
All right.
If you just want to kick back over to your web API that you had up from before.
All right. Let's see if I saved it. Open recent. Hopefully that was 4. Otherwise, I'll just create a new one.
You're currently on 4, so try 3.
Yep. There we go.
Go back to a controller. I really don't care which one. So one of the, a couple of the questions that's been coming in have been around, you know, what it is that you can do behind the scenes. So what happens, unlike person where you created the context, what happens if you had already set that up, or what happens if you had an existing database or an existing DLL?
That's great.
And you know, what it really, again, comes down to is that whole do stuff thing. Mm-hmm. That if you have existing database code, if you've got a DLL, if you have another web service that you want to call, you have the ability to do that. So wherever your data happens to be, like John is demoing right here, if you had a person service and that was going to go off and get your data and you were going to go find a person by its ID or get all people, as we would have right here, you can go in and do exactly that. So it doesn't matter what it is that that you're doing. The data has to be serializable, but other than that, it's completely up to you. By the way, you just want service.
Yes, I do.
He said on, here I am correcting your pseudo code.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, code that's going to be destroyed. No.
Right, but yeah. So, I mean, but this is the idea, right?
Yes,
and then,
exactly.
So we can go in, we can do any code, so that do stuff thing, and this is very similar to the way you'd build out an MVC controller. Right, so you can go in and you to the point where you can use, you know, filters and all that kind of stuff too. But so here I go in and I create services. I go do stuff, and then I can return. The difference is instead of return view, I'm returning the actual, you know, the item type.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So it really is just like we've been doing. Again, you know, going all the way back to Monday morning. It's all about creating a class, adding methods. When you make the move into your APIs, your web APIs, again, it's just like everything that you've already learned, that you're just inheriting from a different type of controller, but you're still creating your basic actions. And again, it's that very technical do stuff. So whatever it is that needs to happen behind the scenes, you can go in and do that.
Yep. And I want to show one other thing. You know, we've been showing off neat things to do. But a handy tip is when this gets long, when I've got more than 2 lines, when I've got 18 lines of code, I right click and I say refactor and I say extract method and I say whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
This is the time where that goes away.
Absolutely. So absolutely. Yeah, if you're anything like me, and I know I am, I have a tendency, if I'm working on something complex, well, it is true. If I'm working on something complex, I will typically just type it all out there just so I can see it right in front of me, and then I'll go back and extract out the methods and refactor that and make that a lot easier. And that extract method is even there down to VS Express. So very nice, very nice. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so I think we're ready to wrap up for this one. So again, what we've seen here is we've looked at web APIs, and these are a way of building HTTP services. So instead of returning HTML or working with post responses from a browser and dealing with HTML encoding and all that kind of stuff, web API doesn't really, if you kind of think of things in a controller that don't deal with HTML, that's a web API. And so you're free to use whatever is works better for your application. Mm-hmm. Kind of recommended to use web API for services that deal with HTTP clients and don't need to deal with HTML. So we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll be back with, I think, my most likely to fail demo, which is the deploy to Azure.
Yes.
All right.
All right.